Your principal engineers are submitting procurement requests for every AI coding tool on the market. One wants the CLI tool, another wants the VS Code fork. Someone else swears the web-based IDE is the future, and Carl is building his own from scratch. You're stalling on all of them because your CISO and legal team have no idea any of this is happening, and if they find out, they'll shut it all down. Meanwhile, your college roommate who sold a startup keeps telling you the same thing. Pick a platform that will grow with your team into 2028 without betting your market share on a VC-funded company that hasn't existed as long as that office sublease you're stuck with that sits empty every day since COVID. If that hot startup becomes the winner by 2028, your board will understand when you pivot then. But they won't forgive you for risking the company on unproven infrastructure today. Take you back to 2008. Your developers wanted to build an e-commerce platform from scratch. Better performance, perfect architectural fit, complete control. Bought SAP anyway. Not because SAP was better. Because your best engineers shouldn't be building shopping carts. They should be building the capabilities that make customers choose you over competitors. SAP was good enough, which freed your senior engineers to work on problems that actually mattered. You didn't buy SAP to make developers happy. You bought it so they could stop thinking about infrastructure and start thinking about customer problems. Some engineers complained for 6 weeks. The board promoted you because you shipped. Now let me tell you about the conversation that's keeping you up at night. He sold his startup 2 years ago. Now he invests in Gen AI companies. He won't stop texting you about AI agents in the SDLC. Last week over drinks, he got direct. This isn't about picking the best tool today. It's about your team's capability in 2028. You need a platform that grows with your organization, one that's extensible, one that gives you unlimited access to frontier models, because those models are the secret sauce. Then he leaned in, and for God's sake, don't bet your infrastructure on some VC-funded startup that's been around for 18 months. Your board doesn't want to explain to shareholders why you risk market share on a company that hasn't existed as long as that office sublease you're still paying for that sits empty every day since COVID. Infrastructure. If that hot startup wins by 2028, you can pivot then. But you can't recover the market share you'll lose while their platform is down for unplanned maintenance, or when their new ownership sunsets the features you depend on. He's right. You've seen this movie before. Hot startups get acquired and immediately pivot their product strategy. Best-in-class tools become abandonware when funding runs out. Infrastructure vendors get bought by larger companies that jack up pricing 400% because they can. Now here's what's actually happening right now that nobody knows about. Senior engineers discovered AI coding tools. Each one found their preferred architecture and submitted a procurement request. Your backend team wants a CLI-based tool because they live in the terminal and refuse to leave it. They found one from a startup that raised a Series B 6 months ago. It has the sleekest command line experience on the market. Your front-end team wants the VS Code fork because it integrates perfectly with their existing muscle memory. The company behind it has been around for 2 years and just announced they're rethinking their go-to-market strategy. Your platform team insists the web-based IDE is the future because zero local configuration means zero debugging developer environments. It's built by a well-funded startup everyone's talking about. They've been in business for 14 months. Carl, your most senior architect, isn't asking for permission. He's building his own solution from scratch on nights and weekends because none of these tools understand our specific code-based architecture and we need fine-grained control over the context retrieval system. Every request makes perfect sense from that engineer's perspective. Every choice maximizes someone's personal workflow preferences. Here's what you know that they don't. You haven't forwarded any of these requests to your CISO or legal team. Because the moment you do, the answer will be no to everything while they spend 6 months building a framework for evaluating AI tools that will arrive obsolete. Your CISO will see 4 different security reviews, 4 different data handling agreements, 4 different places company IP could leak, and 4 different vendors whose security practices they can't verify because the companies are too new to have track records. They'll want to shut it all down. Legal will see 3 different startups with 3 different liability clauses written by lawyers optimizing for growth instead of enterprise risk, 3 different terms of service that change monthly, and 0 confidence that any of these companies will exist long enough to honor their contracts. They'll want 12 months to negotiate terms that actually protect the company. CFO will look at Carl's project and immediately kill it because it's 6 months of your most expensive architect building infrastructure instead of product features. Your board will ask why you're betting company infrastructure on vendors that have been around for less time than that office sublease you're stuck with that nobody uses anymore. So you're stalling. The procurement requests sit in your queue. You tell engineers you're working on it and building the business case and coordinating with stakeholders. Engineers aren't waiting. The CLI people are using personal API keys and charging them to expense reports. The VS Code people found a trial version and are evaluating it in production. The Web IDE team is using the free tier with their work email addresses. Carl is building his solution, and it's almost ready for a demo. You know all of this is happening. You're pretending you don't because the moment you acknowledge it, you have to shut it down or explain to your CSO why you didn't. Each engineer optimized for their own productivity. Collectively, they've created ungovernable chaos, and you're sitting on a ticking time bomb that gets worse every day you don't make a decision. Now let me talk about what we actually know about this technology by now. 2025, we understand what Gen AI in the SDLC looks like in production. The architecture has crystallized into three distinct layers. The model layer is the reasoning engine, frontier LLMs from established providers. This layer commoditized faster than anyone predicted. The models themselves are no longer differentiated. What matters is access to them. Today's best model is obsolete in 6 months. If your platform can't give you access to whatever model is leading in 2028, you're building on a depreciating asset. Your college roommate was right. Frontier models are the secret sauce, and perpetual access to them is non-negotiable. The toolchain layer is where temporary differentiation lives. Semantic search across your code base, context retrieval systems, carefully constructed system prompts, and the orchestration that executes API calls with the right context at the right time. This is what Carl thinks he needs to build. He's wrong. This layer is already converging toward table stakes. By mid-2026, every serious platform will have comparable toolchain capabilities. The differentiation isn't in building better search algorithms. It's in platforms that evolve this layer automatically as the technology advances, without requiring your team to maintain it. The report layer is how engineers interact with the system. Three patterns have emerged: CLIs for terminal native workflows, VS Code forks for muscle memory, and web-based IDEs for zero configuration. Your engineers are having religious wars about which one matters. They're having the wrong conversation. The viewport is the least important layer because it's the most commoditized. What matters is whether the infrastructure behind the viewport is stable, extensible, and will exist in 2028. The market has split into two fundamental architectures. Local-first tools, whether CLI or VS Code forked, give engineers maximum control and perfect integration with existing workflows. They also require each engineer to become their own platform administrator, managing configurations, troubleshooting updates, maintaining personal infrastructure. That's 20% of your most expensive talent doing platform engineering instead of building features. More critically, most local-first tools are being built by startups optimizing for product-market fit, not enterprise stability. Platform-first tools handle infrastructure invisibly. Centralized execution, unified governance, built-in compliance. Your engineers will tell you these are less flexible. What they mean is, these don't let them spend a day optimizing their setup. What you should hear is, these let engineers focus on customer problems instead of tooling problems. More importantly, platform-first approaches are typically built by companies that understand they're selling infrastructure, not developer productivity experiments. There's Carl's approach. Build it ourselves. Maximum control, perfect fit for your architecture. Also, 6 months minimum to production, ongoing maintenance overhead, and permanent lock-in to whatever models you integrate at build time. In 2028, when frontier models are the competitive differentiator, Carl's solution will be using 2000-2000 models. Your board will never approve this approach because it converts your most expensive architects into maintenance programmers for infrastructure you could buy. Here's the math your board actually cares about. Your college roommate understands something your engineers don't. Your board isn't evaluating AI coding tools based on developer happiness. They're evaluating them based on enterprise risk. The hot startup with the CLI tool? They've been in business for 18 months. That office sublease you're stuck with that sits empty since COVID? You've been paying for it longer than this company has existed. If they get acquired, pivot, or run out of funding, you're replatforming while your competitors ship features. The company behind the VS Code fork that just announced they're rethinking their go-to-market strategy? That's startup code for, we haven't figured out how to make money yet. Your infrastructure shouldn't depend on whether their Series C closes. The web-based IDE everyone's talking about? Built by a 14-month-old company burning through VC funding to acquire users. Their pricing model will change the moment they need to show profitability. Your CFO will have uncomfortable questions when your AI tooling costs increase 400% because your vendor's economics don't work. Custom solution, 6 months of your most expensive architect's time, permanent lock-in to 2025's models, and ongoing maintenance overhead forever. Your board will ask why you're building infrastructure instead of buying it. Board wants you to pick infrastructure that will exist in 2028. They want platforms from companies that have survived multiple technology cycles. They want vendors whose economics work without requiring the next funding round. They want stability. And here's the part that makes this easier than you think. If that hot startup actually becomes the winner by 2028, if they survive, scale, prove their economics, and dominate the market, your board will completely understand when you pivot to them then. We picked stable infrastructure in 2025 when they were unproven, and we're migrating now that they've demonstrated enterprise viability is a story your board loves. We bet our infrastructure on an 18-month-old startup, and they got acquired, ran out of funding, or pivoted their product, so now we're replatforming, and we've lost 12 months of competitive velocity is a story that ends your career. Three things actually matter when you pick this infrastructure. First, extensibility without maintenance overhead. The platform evolves with new models, new security requirements, new capabilities, without your team becoming the integration layer. Your engineers shouldn't be debugging toolchain updates. They definitely shouldn't be building the toolchain. They should be building features. This extensibility needs to be proven, not promised by a startup that's never had to maintain enterprise infrastructure through a technology transition. Second, perpetual access to frontier models at sustainable economics. In 2028, frontier models are the secret sauce. Your platform must give you access to leading models as they emerge, and the vendor's economics must work without depending on their next funding round. If you pick a startup whose business model requires burning VC money to subsidize your usage, their pricing will change the moment they need profitability. If you pick Carl's custom solution, you're permanently locked to 2025's models. Your board wants infrastructure where model access is guaranteed and pricing is predictable. Enterprise-grade governance from a vendor who will exist in 2028. Your CISO needs security and compliance from a vendor with a track record. Your legal team needs contracts with a company whose survival doesn't depend on their Series C closing. Your CFO needs predictable costs from a vendor with sustainable economics. Your board needs to trust that when they ask, will this vendor exist in 3 years? The answer isn't probably if their funder exists in 3 years. The answer isn't probably if their funding holds out. Most tools deliver one of these. The hot startups deliver great developer experience today and massive risk tomorrow. Carl Solution delivers control today and technical debt forever. Your job is to pick the platform that delivers all three and that your board can defend to shareholders. Now let me tell you what your competitors are doing. They aren't trying to make every engineer happy with their preferred tool. They made an infrastructure decision, picked a vendor who will exist in 2028, standardized on their platform, and moved on. Their CISO did one security review with a vendor whose security practices have a multi-year track record. Their legal team negotiated one contract with a company whose survival isn't in question. Their CFO approved one line item with predictable costs. Their board approved infrastructure from a vendor that's been through multiple technology cycles. Their engineers complained for 6 weeks and then adapted. Now those engineers aren't debating CLI versus VS Code versus web. They're measuring feature velocity improvements. They're reorganizing around eliminating toil. They're focused on customer problems. And when frontier models improve, their platform gives them access automatically because they picked infrastructure that grows with their team's capability instead of locking them into 2025's capabilities or depending on whether a startup survives. Your CLI team is hoping you'll approve a tool from an 18-month-old company. Your VS Code team is hoping you'll approve a tool from a startup rethinking their go-to-market strategy. Your web team is waiting on a 14-month-old vendor. Carl is building in secret. You're hoping none of this blows up before you figure out what to do. Everybody is focused on shipping features faster. Everybody is focused on tooling preferences or hiding tooling choices. You already know how to make this decision. In 2008, you didn't let each developer pick their own e-commerce platform. You didn't bet on the hot startup with the best features. You didn't let your senior architect build one from scratch. You picked SAP, not because it was the best, but because it was stable infrastructure from a vendor who would exist in 5 years. Some engineers were unhappy for 6 weeks. The board was happy for years. And when better e-commerce platforms emerge later, you could evaluate migrating from a position of strength instead of desperation. In 2025, the same decision is in front of you. Pick one platform that's extensible without requiring your team to maintain it. Pick one platform with perpetual access to frontier models at sustainable economics. Pick one platform from a vendor your board can trust will exist in 2028. Not because they just raised a Series C, but because they've proven they can survive technology cycles. Pick infrastructure your CISO can secure with confidence, your legal team can contract with, without betting on a startup survival, your CFO can budget for with predictable costs, and your board can defend the shareholders. It doesn't matter if it's CLI, VS Code Fork, or web-based. What matters is that the vendor will exist in 2028. Then make the decision. One platform, one security review, one contract, one governance model, one vendor whose survival isn't in question. Your CLI people will complain that it's not as sleek as the startup tool. Your VS Code people will complain that it's not as cutting edge as the two-year-old company's fork. Your web people will complain that it's not as exciting as the 14-month-old vendor. Carl will complain that it doesn't solve your specific architecture problems. They'll all complain for 6 weeks. Then they'll adapt to become more productive because they'll finally be able to focus on customer problems instead of tooling problems. If that hot startup they love actually wins, if they survive, scale, prove their economics, and dominate the market by 2028, you can pivot then. We picked Prove It Then. We picked proven infrastructure in 2025 when they were unproven, and we're migrating now that they've demonstrated enterprise viability. Is a story everyone understands. But you can't tell your board, we bet our infrastructure on an 18-month-old startup, and they got acquired, so now we're replatforming while our competitors ship features. 28, AI coding tools will be commoditized infrastructure. The differentiation won't be CLI versus VS Code versus web. It won't be which startup had the best pitch deck in 2025. The differentiation will be whether you have access to the best frontier models, whether your platform evolved with your needs, and whether you focused engineering talent on customer problems instead of infrastructure problems. More importantly, the differentiation will be whether you picked infrastructure that existed in 2028, or whether you spent 2026 and 2027 replatforming because your vendor got acquired, ran out of funding, or pivoted away from enterprise. The organizations winning this transition made infrastructure decisions in 2025 that their boards could defend. They picked vendors who survived technology cycles. They picked platforms with sustainable economics. They picked infrastructure that grew with their team's capability. And when models improved, they got access automatically. If a hot startup from 2025 actually became the winner by 2028, these organizations evaluated migrating from a position of strength, not desperation. We're moving to the proven winner is a story boards love. We're replatforming because our vendor failed is a story that ends careers. The organizations losing this transition bet on unproven vendors or tried to govern four different tools or let Carl build custom infrastructure or kept stalling while Shadow IT grew. When their vendors got acquired or ran out of funding, they lost 18 months replatforming while competitors built insurmountable leads. You can make 2% of your organization happy today by approving everyone's favorite startup tool. Your board will ask why you're betting infrastructure on companies that haven't existed as long as that office sublease you're stuck paying for that sits empty every day. Your CISO will ask how you're supposed to verify security practices from vendors with no track record. Legal will ask what happens when these startups get acquired or pivot. And in 2027, when half these vendors get acquired or run out of funding, you'll explain to your board why you're replatforming instead of shipping. Or you can make your board 100% happy in 2028 by making an infrastructure decision now that delivers measurable business outcomes. Faster feature velocity, reduced cycle times. Engineers focused on customer problems, unlimited access to frontier models as they emerge. From a vendor, your board trust will exist in 2028. You already know how to make this decision. You made it in 2008 when you bought SAP instead of betting on the hot startup with the best demo or letting developers build their own platform. Your college roommate is right. Pick a platform that will grow with your team into 2028 without major risks. Pick a vendor your board can trust. Pick infrastructure with proven stability and sustainable economics. Pick a platform that gives you unlimited access to frontier models without betting on whether a startup survives. If that exciting 18-month-old startup actually becomes the winner by 2028, your board will completely understand when you pivot then. But they won't forgive you for risking market share today on infrastructure from a company that hasn't existed as long as that office sublease you're stuck with that sits empty every day since COVID. The race isn't to pick the tool with the best developer experience today. The race is to pick infrastructure that will exist in 2028 so your team can focus on building capability that compounds in value, not on replatforming because your vendor got acquired or ran out of funding. Make the infrastructure decision. Pick the vendor who will exist in 2028. Shut down the shadow IT. Then measure what happens when your engineering organization finally has stable, governed infrastructure that evolves with your needs, instead of betting your competitive position on whether a startup Series C closes. This is Norman from Agent Driven Development